A big hand to Mark 44, Pompey, and Abel Tungu. How many of you would like to listen to those songs again? Okay, they have their albums outside in the tents, and so you can actually buy a CD for them. All right, so my name is Kema Chingambu, and I'm the Assistant Youth Director here at Miracle Life Family Church, and I've been serving at Impact for the past 3 years. All right.
Good morning, church. My name is Natasha Ziambo. I'm the children's director, and I've been serving since 2012.
All right. So this month we're doing a series on pressing on, finishing strong. And so 2 weeks ago, Pastor Walker began the series, and he talked about how we must continue going forward and not to stay in one place. Last week, Pastor Sombo shared with us a sermon on remembering the people. And how we all have a responsibility to pass on what we know to the next generation. And so this morning, Natasha and I will be sharing with you the four attributes of a childlike faith. But before we begin, let's pray. Our great and loving Father, we thank you. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for your goodness every day. We pray, O Lord, for your grace and strength for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, some children and youth were asked to share their views on the expectations of the new buildings. And here is what they said.
I'm giving towards the building campaign because I would love to see people come and get saved, because I remember I was once lost, and it's not a good thing to be out there in the world because a lot of things happen and people are living in a mess. So I'm giving because I feel like it's the right thing to do, because people won't live in darkness anymore because they'll come into light.
I have been giving towards the building campaign because I want to see more lives changed and more kids being introduced to Christ.
So obviously it's gonna have better facilities than we currently have. As it is right now, I'm in a tent and it's so hot in here, I'm failing to breathe.
In the new building, I'm looking forward to aircon, floors, and dust free rooms.
I'm excited about the new buildings because it's going to help a lot of us, starting from the kids to the adults. Because one, we're going to be in a free space, comfortable chairs, comfortable room, and the aircon is everything. And yeah, I'd love to move into the buildings just today, even tomorrow. And plus, the rains that are coming in, it's going to be a struggle, but I'd love to move into the buildings right now.
I feel excited about going to the new building and I'm looking forward to it.
Amen. So Daniel and David were showing that poster saying that they have faith that the buildings are done. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. You see, one of the things about being a follower of Jesus Christ is that we're encouraged to have that childlike faith. In fact, childlike faith is something that Jesus talked about. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 18, verse 1 to 4. Matthew 18, verse 1 to 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, had him stand among them and said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn around and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let's now turn our Bibles to Mark 10, Mark 10, verse 13 to 15. Mark 10, verse 13 to 15. And it reads, "Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" You see, every newborn believer is childlike in faith at the outset. Our Heavenly Father always wants us to be ever childlike in our faith towards Him. And so, like I said earlier, today we'll be looking at four attributes of childlike faith. And these attributes are: one, it has an attitude of determination. Number two, it is courageous. Number three, it presses on. It never gives up. And the fourth attribute is it trusts in the person that has promised. Let's begin then with the first attribute, which is an attitude of determination. Over a year ago, a couple of husbands, friends of mine, who are part of different young couples connection groups, we started playing soccer together. And so when we started, because we were not used to playing soccer, when we just played for 5 to 10 minutes, most of us would get extremely exhausted to the point where we needed to take a break. But because of having that attitude of determination to stay fit, to keep healthy, we kept at it. And now, a year later, we now play for 1 to 2 hours. Some of my friends actually even play for 3 hours. We actually see even with the children at M Kids and the youth at Impact that these children have not seen the buildings yet. Yet, neither do they understand the process of us building. Yet, with each passing week, they are faithful to bring their pledges. The children and youth have that determination to give the little they had. The children and youth are eager to finish strong. Are we as adults eager to finish strong? Do we have that attitude of determination to ensure that we finish strong? Even when we see the children come to the tents to see the next gen model outside there, we see children who envision themselves already in the building, and hence they're eager to give whatever amount that they have to see to it that the building is done. The children and youth, like I said again, they are eager to finish. Are we eager to finish strong? Let's now go to our second attribute, and that is childlike faith is courageous. Childlike faith is courageous. My wife and I have a son who is 1 year, 7 months, 2 days, 11 hours old. They were doing a timer for the building campaign, so let me also do a timer for my son. Our son does courageous things without fear. And sometimes we ask ourselves, where did he learn that from? He wants to draw with the marker on the floor. He wants to squeeze through the burglar bars. You know? For us adults, we run away from dogs. He wants to run towards the dogs. You know, that courageousness that he has. You see, he doesn't want to settle for less than. He wants to be stretched and to explore the house, the yard, and other places. Another example of someone who was courageous is a young boy we find in John 6, verse 5 to 9. Let's turn our Bibles to John 6, verse 5 to 9. John 6, verse 5 to 9. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, that is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And how far will they go among so many?" We actually learned something about this young boy who gave his 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that is that this boy was not selfish. He was courageous enough to put God first rather than his own interest. Maybe he had the sermon where Jesus was saying, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." You know, that boy did not even know that those five loaves would actually feed 5,000. He was just acting out of faith. He was courageous enough to say, "Okay, I'll share my food." In fact, theologians say that five loaves and two fish, if they were to share it amongst those 5,000 people, it would have only fed maybe about 100 or 200 people. But this boy, we don't even know his name, was so courageous enough to say, "I give what I have." Brené Brown once said this: "You can choose courage or you can choose comfort, but you cannot choose both." Let me read it again. "You can choose courage or you can choose comfort, but you cannot choose both." That's the childlike faith we all need to learn from, where you put God's things first rather than our own interest. You see, the Israelites at one point had that childlike faith. They walked on dry ground by faith. Never done before, but they decided to follow God who had called him, who had called them. About 4 years ago, that was 2015, the economy was going through a crunch. Load shedding was at 8 hours then, and that time we thought it was bad. And the prices of goods, essential goods, were going up. And in summary, God spoke to my wife and I to leave the bank. So I'd worked for the bank for 9 years, to resign from the bank and go to Rema Bible Training Center. And we were like, how can we live at a time like this when things are bad? And God said, "Look, I've promised you, I'm going to provide for all your needs." And so we decided to take a step of faith. We were courageous. We were leaving our comfort zone. We didn't know what the future held. The only thing we knew was our God who knows our future. It wasn't easy. But fast forward to today, we look back and all we can see is God's faithfulness and how he has and how he keeps providing for us. You see, take Jesus at his word. Take Jesus at his word. Do not fear. Be courageous and trust in him. Because the promise still stands to this day. He has promised you. He's still the same God who parted the Red Sea. He's still the same God who made the way for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He will make a way for you. The only thing that you need to do is trust in him. Hold on to his word. Because his word is a solid guarantee. Amen. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in him. Look to him. Hebrews 11 shows us how different men and women did courageous things by faith. By faith, Abraham left his comfort zone. He left his hometown. He was courageous enough to go to a side, to go to a place where he knew nothing about. Noah also, by faith, built an ark when he never even had no idea of how to even build an ark. But it was by faith. Part of our vision, which actually highlights children and youth, and we're going to even show it on the screen, it says this: "These children and youth are developed through the word and worship to take bold stands of faith and fulfill the Great Commission." In 2019, we still have youth who are taking bold stands of faith, and I'm going to share a few examples of our youth who are actually taking bold stands of faith to fulfill the Great Commission. The first youth that I want to share with you is Luyando. So Luyando was part of our Impact Youth, and he was actually serving at M-Kids. And last year, he went to China for school. And instead of just focusing on school, he decided to leave his comfort zone and join the local church there. And so 3 months ago, he sent me that photo saying that he was actually serving at their VBS there. And so the values he learned from M-Kids is actually taking them there to China. thereby actually fulfilling our mission, which says changing the world. Another lady, yeah, now she's a lady, Chamululu. Chamululu was at M Kids, then she came through Impact. And so 2 years ago, God tugged on her heart to go to Rema. And so she decided to take that step of faith. And now, next week, she'll actually be graduating at Rema. And I'm actually excited for what God is going to do, what God has done in her life and through her. You can imagine how many lives would be transformed because of the step of faith she took. Another young boy, Kalela, is aged 9. And so Kalela started coming to M Kids some 4 years ago. He was baptized 2 weeks ago, taking a bold stand of faith, saying, I want to follow Jesus Christ. No turning back. I just want to look to Jesus. I want to grow in the faith. And so Kalela is also taking bold stands of faith. A few months ago, one of our impact leaders was sharing with me a story of another youth who, his name is Peter, who came through to Impact last year. He got saved and his life started being transformed. And so at home, it started to show. All of a sudden, he was doing chores, he was sweeping, he was doing all sorts of things. And the mother got spooked. Hey, what's happening? What have you eaten? What's happening, you know? And Peter was like, look, the transformation is because of me going to impact you. So the mom decided, okay, I need to follow you. So the next Sunday she came to church, and the same Sunday she gave her life to Christ, and now she's serving in the first impressions department. Families are already being transformed. Through impact, through M Kids, families are being transformed. And there are more lives that need to be transformed. And so they will be done behind here, the next gen building. And so we need to be courageous and take that step of faith and give. Time won't allow me to actually share more stories about how teenagers like Chipo, Tiwonge, Veronica, Nathan, Elizabeth, Chanda, Christopher found Christ at Impact. They now know who they are, and now they're taking bold stands of faith in the different areas where they are. This morning I ask a question. Will you be courageous enough today and trust Him who has called you? Will you be courageous? We'll be showing you a video of Wiza and April, who have had a childlike faith. They've had that attitude of determination, and they were courageous enough to actually finish their pledge. Here's their story.
Hi, my name is Wiza.
Hi, my name is April. We have been giving towards the building campaign, and we have completed our pledges.
I completed my pledge this January, and I completed my pledge in March. To complete my pledge, I did chores like washing the plates, cooking supper, and cleaning my parents' room. The reason why I think it was important is because they are going to expand the church and there will be more people to know about God.
And the chores I did is wash the dogs, clean the master bedroom, wash plates, and clean the car. And why I think it's important to finish my pledge is for more people to come and learn about God, because they don't have any churches due to space.
This is my church art. On Fridays, I would cook supper. On Saturdays, I would clean my parents' room. And on Sundays, I would wash the plates.
And this is my church art. On Fridays, I would clean the master bedroom. On Saturday, I would wash the plates and clean the car. On Sunday, I would wash the dogs.
Because when I see the new buildings, I want to be able to say that I helped.
I want to tell people more about God, teach them about the good things He's done in life and the many miracles Jesus has performed.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that a good story? And what's really amazing is that these are people we can see. These are people who can tell a story to say, I want to have a part in this building such that when it's done, I can say, I took part. So Kema and I this morning are sharing on the childlike faith, characteristics of a childlike faith. Kema has so wonderfully shared with us the two attributes, which are, this faith is one that has an attitude of determination, and it's also one that is courageous. And I'll be sharing with you the last two. But before we do that, I ask that we turn our Bibles to the book of Philippians 3, verse 8 to 16. Philippians 3, verse 8 to 16. And the Bible reads, yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. Those are very strong words. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal. That's a man who has faith. Where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus, I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. How many want everything God has for us? So let's keep focused on that goal. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. Yet you see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. That's a very interesting passage of scripture that the apostle writes to the Philippian church. In the New Testament, there's a story of Paul and Silas. They go to jail. This is the church Paul is writing to. Matthew Henry actually says in his commentary to say, when Paul is writing this passage of scripture, he does say, I am running towards a goal. It's not that he's running towards attaining righteousness. Because in Romans, he himself has told us to say, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he is already the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus as he's writing this letter. But what he's running towards is being Christ-like. He's running toward the heavenly gift. That's why he writes, even in Philippians itself, he goes on and says, he tells Timothy, say, I have run my race. I have kept the faith. And I have finished strong. So this morning, what I've seen with my team and most of the impact leaders over the past, we've been in the tent now for about 6 months, 6 to 8 months now. And what I see with my team every Sunday is children who have a faith that is pressing on and it is not giving up. It is interesting to note, when we moved into the tents, it was the first time we're ever having service in tents. So we didn't know what we were going to experience. It was different from classrooms. One of the things we really were very abreast to was the fact that what happens outside happens inside a tent. What do I mean by that? When it's cold outside, it's cold inside. When it's dusty outside, it's very dusty inside. When it's hot outside, it's 2 times more inside. But guess what? That didn't stop these children. We actually, at some point, were asking ourselves, our team, so would they stop coming to church, seeing that it is getting so hot in these tents? It was amazing to see that the numbers didn't go down. But what was also so amazing was that each Sunday, some of them would come and say, oh, I've actually even forgotten my pledge number, but I know my name. You can write my name down. Others would even be, they were so determined, they were pressing on that. There was one time where we even had to call a parent out of service, because I want my money to give towards the building fund. That's a faith that is pressing on. That's a faith that reminds me of this passage of scripture. It hasn't seen the buildings. Hebrews 11:1 actually says, faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It's an evidence of things that are not seen. These children believe in their hearts that they are going to the next, to the new generation building. They actually believe so much so that each Sunday they will give. Each Sunday they are determined, they are courageous, they are pressing on and they are not giving up. Now friends, if these children, little children can do this, how much more you and me? You and me who have precious promises from the Word of God. You and me who can stand on God's Word, believe and actually see the results come to pass. This is actually a faith we can learn from. It's also so interesting that, you know, when I saw April and Wiza say, I saw Wiza when she said, I want to be able to say I helped. I actually saw a faith that is, it's not just looking at its own benefit. It's looking at what someone, the other person who's going to come and benefit from this. Now, you may be new to this church, or maybe you've joined us, and you're wondering, why are we building? What's this we're talking about? One of the reasons why we are embarking on this building campaign is because we believe that we have been called to influence the next generation. We believe that the next generation is the hope of this world, but also the hope of the future of Zambia. Someone once rightly said it to say, the church is the hope of the world. And I really believe that statement because the church is the only institution that has a message of hope. It's the only institution that has the ability to share a message that is coupled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit quickens the message, lives are changed. That is why we are building, friends. We are not building so we can have good chairs. We will have good chairs. Yes, we will. We will have air cons. Yes, we'll say bye-bye to the dust. But we are building so many children can come to know Christ. In our vision, we say we see a church where large numbers of children and youth are presented with the gospel in a language and a manner that they can understand. What we are doing right now is good, but there's still many more out there. And we want to create a space where those many can come. We want to create a space where someone can come and ask questions about this Jesus. And find a leader who is filled with the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, who's going to tell them the real word of God. And they are able to go back home and change their world. That is why we are building, friends. So you and I, if we do not come alongside these children, we risk making them think that this faith doesn't work. We can be the ones to come alongside and help them see that faith presses on. Faith does not give up. Faith endures hardship. And faith sees the results. We can be the ones to show them that God actually answers. Because for them, every week sometimes it's actually small amounts they're bringing towards their pledge. Even a 2 kwacha they'll put in the envelope. They are that persistent. Why? Because they are heading towards a goal. And what's interesting is that it's not just going to be a building that they're going to go to. They're actually going to go to a place where they'll hear the word of God. The incorruptible word of God that's able to change their souls. So friends, you and I this morning, wherever we are in our building race, to get us from 30 to 100, let's press on. Let's look at the goal not being just a building, but the goal being a space where Jesus will be preached boldly. The word of God will be believed deeply, and it will go and change this nation. The other thing I see in these kids every week that passes by me and my team, one thing that we see is that this faith, it trusts in the person who promised. Now you may ask, what do I mean by that? When we were doing the VAMS, we did the VAMS with the kids as well. And they would ask questions. So what's this building going to look like? This is our class. Right now when they go to the tent and they ask about the model, they even ask, so where's my class going to be? That's how much faith they have. But what we saw is that some of them would actually say, I'm going to give a certain amount. Then their parents would call during the week and say, no, actually, that's too high. What's that all about? They actually trust in the person who promised. They trust in you and me. They trust that Teacher Natasha and her team have said we're going to a new building. They trust that we're building towards having a facility where many people, because what we heard from the video, none of them, yes, some said they're looking for nice facilities, but there's one who actually said that many people may come. because there's no space out there. What I see in these children is actually a faith that trusts in you and me. They trust so much so that Miracle Life Family Church will build them a space. And the funny thing is that they haven't seen this building. They actually haven't, others haven't even been at the back to see where we are, but they believe. Friends, I also join in that faith because we are going to the new building. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul even actually says to say, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we are on the right track, because I believe we are on the right track, let's stay on it. Let's stay on this track of actually saying God is able to do this. These children trust in you and me so much so that every week that passes, every week, even if we ask them, their story doesn't change. We are giving towards the new building. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. The Bible reads, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Is it us who feed them? It's our heavenly Father. Are you not of more value than they are? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither turn nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus actually alludes to two things that are very common for all of us, birds of the air and lilies of the valley. I live in the outskirts of town. One thing that wakes me up every morning is the sound of birds humming. And they're very consistent. When they hum, I know it's daybreak. We need to get up. Sometimes they're consistent with my alarm, both. Sometimes they're faster than the alarm. This morning I went out and I looked at them. And it was interesting. I didn't know how many there were, but there were so many. Others were even flying to the rooftop. Yet there were still many humming in the trees. And it made me think, to say, these birds, if we cut down this tree today, we won't find any of them seated by the wayside worrying. To say, oh, our house was cut down, these humans. They'll just find another tree. I've never actually seen, how many of you in this room have actually seen a bird fall down because it was dead hungry? Like it was starving. I've never seen it. In my little years on earth, I've never seen that. And it's interesting, I love the Lord Jesus because he brings to life the things that we see, the simplest things of life. And he says, if God can take care of the birds of the air, the lilies of the valley, which are here today and tomorrow they're thrown, how much more you and I? So regardless of where we are in our giving journey, whatever it is that we have prioritized, God can take care of that and take care of the building campaign as well. Because he is able. He is able, and he has said in his word to say, in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, his word says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Does it say some grace? It says he's able to make all grace that you, it's not that some of you, he says that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. So it means God has you covered in all things. You may have an abundance for every good work. I don't know about you, but this building campaign is a good work. And God is saying we will have an abundance for every good work. So regardless of the bills we have, the school fees we have, the mortgage, the hospital bills, we will have an abundance for every good work. It's just a matter of us getting our shoes back on track and being like the Apostle Paul and saying, now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Let's not go to the wayside. Let's not make us say, oh, maybe I'll catch up next month. Regardless of where you are, maybe you last month you defaulted, the other month you defaulted, and you're thinking, ah, oh, I'm so way behind. No. I've seen great coaches, when one player falls down, they don't say, oh, let's move on without this one. They go back and say, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Maybe you'll see the person come in second half. My husband loves football, so I know a little bit of these things. Not so much, but I know some. And what you see is that this player comes back and he runs towards. The goal is winning. For most of these teams, the goal is not to just be seen. The goal is winning. Miracle Life Family Church, what is our goal with these buildings? If our goal is winning, like Paul says, let's go all out. Let's win for Jesus. What we saw, the pictures we saw of those children, are people who are going and making a difference elsewhere where you and I cannot go. But because of the money that we give, we're able to build spaces where these people can come. In other ways, our influence is also felt that side, through our giving. And that's something we should remember. If little children can trust you and me, who default on our promises sometimes, how much more can we trust our Heavenly Father to provide for everything? And when I say everything, I mean everything. Because He is able. And He is willing. It's not that He's just able. God is also willing. We may think, how will I juggle five things at the same time? God is willing. So it's just up to you and me to get back on track. For us to get to 100%, we will all have to get back on track. We will all have to have an attitude of determination. We all have to have the mindset of, my neighbor is doing their part, but I will do my part 100%. We will all have to have the mindset of courage. Courage is, I will either, like Pastor Walker had mentioned the other week, I will sell something and take my money. I will sacrifice. I will pray and I will trust God. I will prepare. I will go back home and I will think and I will say, God, I'm going to be courageous. I have 10 things going, but I still will be courageous. And in my courage, I'm going to press on. I'm not going to give up. Because there are lives at stake. There are more Kalelas to come. There are more Luyandos to come. There are more Chamululus to come. And we can be the people that make that possible. So I encourage you, regardless of where you are, let's put on our shoes and let's go back on the track. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews 6, verse 12. Hebrews 6, verse 12. The Bible reads, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." I'll read that again. "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." From time to time, I go to the gym and I notice that there are some bodybuilders, or just fit men. They usually lift weights. And it's so interesting. One time, this guy had three of them on one. And I was thinking, that guy, he's got something going there. And I tried it. Oh, it didn't work out for me. But I noticed the next day we got, he's still on those things. The other day, he's still on those things. Hebrews 6, verse 12 is telling us, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who what? Through faith and what? Patience. Through faith and? They inherit what has been promised. Like that guy. Maybe you're in here and you've run a marathon before. If you've built a house and finished it. If you've taken kids to school and they've graduated. If you've let alone passed through university, you know what it is to press on. You know what it is to be courageous. You know what it is to reach a brink of giving up, but I just say, I'm going to do it just one more day. Right. Friends, you and I need to go back to the gym of faith and put faith and patience. Faith and patience. Like those guys at the gym. I don't think it's every day that they want to go, but they are consistent. They are consistent and you see them. Sometimes they'll miss a day, but the next time they'll come, they'll even have more weights. They have a goal. Now you and I have a goal to change the next generation, to influence the next generation for what Christ has for them. So in light of that, this coming week, as we prepare for the big Giving Sunday, let's go to the gym of faith. Let's put on faith and patience. Let's remove whatever is holding us back. Whatever is making us think, I won't do it. Ah, maybe I'll participate in the next one. Let's remove that out of the way. And let's get back on track. Amen. Amen. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Father God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you are good and your mercies endure forever. We thank you that you're a God who provides. You're a God who is faithful. You're a God who is consistent. And every time we ask, you hear us. And when we stand on your word says that you hear us. So even as we are asking as a church, we're asking that, Father, regardless of where each and everyone are, Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to us these coming days or even today. Remind us of what our part is in this campaign. Grant us the grace to step out and run the race you have called us to do. We thank you because you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask and think of. We also thank you that nothing is too hard for you. And we can trust you with whatever it is we are facing, and you will help us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be in this place today. We've talked about a Father who cares for us. Earlier this morning we had communion and we're remembering Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us because he loved us and he still does. And you may be in this place and you're saying, I don't have a relationship with this Jesus. I've heard about him. I've heard that he loves me. But I really don't have a relationship. And how do I even talk to him? We don't want you to go away without making a decision to walk with this Jesus. So if you're in this place and you'd like to pray a prayer with me where we would trust God and you will get into a relationship with the God that made you, the God that loves you, and the God that's been waiting for you, raise your hand up so high so we can see it. On the count of three, I ask that you raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Just raise it up so high so we can see it. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you so much for that hand. I see it. Thank you for the hand in the back. I see it. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand there. Thank you. Anyone else? We will wait for you. Thank you so much. The next group of people I want to talk to is, you may actually be in this place and you have a relationship with this Jesus. But like the prodigal son, you've strayed away. You've made some decisions that you may not be happy about. But just like the prodigal son, when he went home, his father had been waiting for him. God loves you. He still does. He always has. And if you're in that category and you want to make things right with him, raise your hand up so high so I can see it as well. Thank you so much for those hands. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I see those hands. Congregation, I ask that we stand. And everyone that raised your hand up or you wanted to raise your hand, or maybe you're seated next to someone who thinks they should have raised up their hand or they're saying, I would like to. I ask that you come forward and meet me at the front. We will wait for you because you matter to God. Thank you so much for coming. You can just stand here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Jesus loves you. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Thank you for coming. We will wait for you. We are not in a hurry. Anybody else? All right. So if I wanted to give you a gift, and this Bible is a gift I wanted to give you, how would you receive it? How would you get it? You'd stretch out your hand, right? Yes. Jesus once taught a man, welcome. Jesus once told a man to say, unless a man is born of the Spirit and of water, he will not see the kingdom of God. He went on to tell that man to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in that begotten Son will not perish but have eternal life. Guess what? You are the whosoever. You and I are that whosoever. And if we were the only ones on earth, Jesus would still have come. God has a future. He has a plan for your life. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we're going to pray a prayer. You're not praying a prayer to me or to anyone in this room. You're actually talking to God, who created you, who loves you, who actually knows the number of hairs in your head. So I ask that you pray after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me. I thank you that he loves me and he has good plans for me. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is your Son, that he died and rose again. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for the rest of my life. For I will follow you as you lead me. In your name I pray. Amen.